Check, check. We are recording.
Okay. It is 6:05 on April 20. I call this monthly business meeting of the National Airport Authority Board to order. Roll call, please.
Chairman Woods.
Present.
Vice Chairman Law.
Present.
Director Duquette.
Present.
Secretary Holland.
Present.
And Treasurer Heath will be absent this evening.
Okay, first up is public input as it pertains to tonight's agenda. Any takers? Going once, going twice, okay. Minutes, so approval of the NEA published minutes of March 16, 2022.
Put forth a motion to approve the NEA public minutes March
16, 2022. Okay, I will second. Any discussion? Okay, so with Jessica remote, all the votes that we take have to be roll call votes. So, Chris, would you call the roll, please?
Okay, Chairman Woods?
Yay.
Vice Chairman Law?
Yay.
Director Duquette?
Yay.
Secretary Holland?
Yay.
Okay, so the March 16, 2022 minutes are approved. Treasurer's report, I'm going to table that until our next meeting. And let's see, communications. So we received communications from MAC Air regarding assignments of 3, 87, 113, and 113. If we'll, let's see, we're going to take care of all of that under new business. So that brings us along to the tower report, so we did that out. For the month of March, so we had, should have brought my reading, looks like we had 5,800 system operations, and that's up about 30%, from last month, and year over year number, unfortunately, is a little bit too light for me to read.
Down 21%, less 1,248 operations. 18% over the same period last year, 21% year-to-year decline.
Okay.
Overall.
So hopefully we'll see the numbers go up, since it's April, and hopefully, hopefully winter's all done with us. So I did notice it snowed a little bit on Sunday. that brings us to the airport manager's report.
Okay. Good evening. Recent events, we've had none to speak of. Had no snow falling recently, which is fantastic. Upcoming events at Nashville Airport, June 18th, which is a Saturday, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., we'll have the New Hampshire Aviation Museum Fly-In and Barbecue. This is held at Hangar 81. And the ramp and the tower ramp, and that area will be closed to all other traffic. You will still be able to access Taxiway Charlie to get into other areas. September 17th, which is also a Saturday, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., we'll have our Wheels and Wings event. This year, we're going to try to get a couple food trucks involved in this. Last year, we simply had hot dogs, and I spoke with a food truck vendor actually this afternoon that's interested in coming in, so that should be good. I offered it to Sandy, and she doesn't have the staff or the time to do it, so.
I believe
there's
a food truck as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. I know that's what she did at one point.
Okay. Well, I can reach out to her. Other items of interest. Had several meetings in March with the Hampshire DOT, FAA, and Gale Associates, discussing the potential or possibility of relocating Taxiway Alpha. We went back and forth on this several times. Nick will speak about this a little bit later in his report tonight. As of right now, they are not approving the relocation of Taxiway Alpha. They are, however, approving the rehabilitation in place. And again, Nick and I will speak about that when Nick does his report. I met with two developers interested in developing large corporate hangars at Nashua. Nick and I met with real estate developer Rob Parsons, and he and a group of investors are planning on developing a 30,000 plus square foot hangar and two 4,200 square foot hangars. And in addition to this, Armin, Danny, and I met with Greg Leeson from Infinity, and Greg's here this evening, and he'll be discussing his potential project here, which is developing two 30,000 square foot hangars and a new FBO building. And I guess, yeah, we'll be talking, you can talk about that during new business, Greg. We also have two other developers that are interested in this, in that area of the old grass tie downs. One is Lofrenzi Aviation, and he's under contract with Yale Associates at the moment to develop another large corporate hangar. And an undisclosed entity is looking to bring a G550 and a G700 to Nashua, and they're interested in the same area. So we went from 0 to 100 here in a matter of a few months. As it stands right now, and again, Nick will talk about this, where we were denied the relocation of Taxiway Alpha, we've come up with an alternate location for Greg and Mr. Parsons buildings, and Greg will show you that when he steps up to the plate. But the other two, we're tentatively still trying to develop in the grass tie-down area, and so what we're hoping to do is get these developments going, and once this alternate area is used up, which is actually beside the building right here, and into to the parking lot behind us, then it leaves the only location on the airport is in the grass tie-down area. And at that point, if we can get that approved, they will have to move Taxiway Alpha. So that's what's up with that. Currently, we have the Foxtrot Golf Ramp Reconstruction Project out for bid. The bid opening will be on April 26th, that will be held at our office at 93 Perimeter Road. That's about it. I guess the other thing, I spoke with Wes earlier. We had a contractor in this weekend on Saturday, here to fix the Hangar 109 damage that was incurred during the last construction project. He's going to try to get it done in the next 2 weekends. So, anybody have any questions? That'll be all.
Okay. And brings us to airport engineer's report. Okay. So the air associate is administering, we have here three projects on behalf of the authority. The first one being the pavement maintenance phase two project. We have received approval of change order number two, which is the last item needed to close out this grant. We have prepared and circulated the closeout documents, the final reimbursement request, and we are currently awaiting NHDOT final approval and release of the remaining funds. So there's no action recommended at this time. We'll leave it on the agenda until that grant is actually closed out. Any questions on that project? Okay. Moving on, we have the rehabilitate/relocate taxiway Alpha and associated taxiways. The FAA and HDOT Bureau of Aeronautics have determined that the location of Taxiway Alpha, or the relocation of Taxiway Alpha, is not necessary and justified at this time. Discussion on this matter was conducted on March 25th, and the alternative development locations that Chris had alluded to were identified during that meeting that will allow up to four hangars to be developed. These hangars would be capable of housing large cabin aircraft, and that will satisfy the immediate demand for hangar space at the airport. The relocation of Taxiway Alpha will then be re-evaluated at a later date. As a result of these discussions with airport management, NHDOT, and FAA, Dale has prepared several airspace studies and filed them with the FAA. The purpose of these studies is to determine whether or not the proposed hangar development concepts pose a hazard to air navigation. That review process
takes a minimum of 45 days, and we'll report back the results when we get that determination letter. Also, based on discussions with the NHDOT and FAA, the decision has been made to move forward with a design-only grant for the Taxiway Alpha Rehabilitation Project. We'll be reaching out to NHDOT to coordinate the issues with that grant. Now, this has happened since I typed up this agenda, so we are currently waiting on NHDOT to get back to us with any additional comments they may have on that grant application. So recommended actions, there are none at this time. Questions on Taxiway Alpha?
So before there's been this discussion of these triggering events, right, that would precipitate the approval or the, let's say, moving forward with the idea of the relocation. So it sounds like these triggering events are sort of being described in the stuff that Chris has just mentioned recently and kind of even in your notes here. Has NHDOT indicated what the aha moment or the triggering event or what would allow this to be moved forward? I mean,
it would be the execution of contracts on landing to construct hangars.
Okay.
So for the time being, the real estate is available outside to construct up to 4 hangars. But until such time that we have additional developers signing on, they just don't see that, I guess, the proof in the data.
So use up the land you have that doesn't precipitate the need of moving the taxiway, and then when you run out of that,
that way you can reduce it.
But, you know, two of the projects appear to require a relocation of Alpha because, it, you know, there physically isn't enough room elsewhere.
Right. Beyond the 4 hangars that were discussed here tonight for Mr. Parsons and Mr. Vagon, anything else would necessitate the relocation of Alpha.
Okay, so aeronautics has basically created kind of a chicken and egg problem for us. Because, you know, it's like I can't imagine, you know, a reasonably smart business person, you know, like committing to construct without some sort of guarantee that the taxiway is going to be relocated.
Right. So, the idea is once all of the developable land is taken, at that point, if there are additional developers, they would circle back and reevaluate relocating Alpha.
But again, the idea, at least right now, that you have to basically, to your point, Carol, the chicken and egg, like, we built everything we can, but then somebody comes in and says, well, now I want to build something. Well, that something can be over here when the taxiway moves. But the taxiway really can't move until that something that could be here is sort of being executed, if you will.
Yeah. And so in this scenario, the first come, first serve actually do reap the majority of the benefits because beyond that first group of 4 hangars, the developer might have to wait a year or two.
And say, what's the, okay, great, I want to build tomorrow. Let me sign the land lease. What's the lead time typically then?
Well, we have to, we have to contract and relocate out. And then they would be able to start.
At least a year.
So, if we were to go through with rehabbing Alpha as opposed to relocating it, then what sort of obligation does that put on us to actually not touch Alpha? You know, how many years is that?
The rehabilitation sort of handcuffs you for 10 years, but based on my discussions with the FAA, if there is a demand for it, they may reevaluate whether or not that 10-year design was
Will the rehabilitation or the relocation increase the width of Alpha?
The rehabilitation will maintain the same width. If we move to relocate, then it would be reduced from 40 feet down to 35 feet.
No.
And that's only in the straight section. The intersection with subs would actually widen out to 50 feet. So,
what's the track of a G5?
I know the wheel base is somewhere around 20 feet. I don't know the track of it.
Probably greater than that, actually. 2025, I think.
Well, I'm wondering what the track of a G700 might be.
Yeah. What Nick's talking about, they are supposed to be taking those into account, these new tax rate designs. But I don't know. To me, it's
35 to 50 tons.
It's pretty scheme. Yeah. As the straightaway, it's the turn that really needs to be.
So as it is right now, I saw this firsthand about a week ago. They were taxing a G550, Global 6000 out of Delta, and they were supposed to taxi him straight across Alpha and then have him go down, back taxi the runway and turn around, because that plane can't make the turn onto Delta towards the 3-2 end. And they unfortunately didn't get the memo and started making that turn, and that plane's main wheels were about 4 feet off of the edge of the taxiway, and we were just very lucky that it didn't sink. Went over an old manhole structure and then through the mud. And that's with the current width of our taxiways. Now, like Nick said, if they relocate and they go with their new specifications, which is 35 feet based on our largest base aircraft with the most movements of G4, that's the width of the taxiway, but in the intersection, they do some, what would you call
that
it?
That rim thing?
It flares out.
Yeah.
So you've got still a geometry that,
right,
within, I think it's 50 feet of the intersection, it flares from 35 feet up to 50.
Also, Nick, if I remember correctly, if we were to relocate Alpha, then the stubs that connect Alpha to the runway, the geometries for those change too. They're no longer straight.
Yeah, we went over that mess.
Yes. Yeah, you'd have to eliminate the direct access from Abram to runway. So we actually relocate Charlie and Bravo, I believe Delta.
It was May. Delta,
yeah.
As well.
Right. Yeah.
It was actually Delta and Charlie. Yeah.
My apologies.
So assuming, let's say, the 10-year clock starts when you do the rehab, let's just say that's just letter of the law, fine. Kind of backing and strategically looking at this, what do we think, from your opinion right now, on the status of the taxiway? We don't move to rehab it, but we're trying to, strategy-wise, get these developers to somehow make this all fall into place. What kind of lifespan do we have on there? What are the things we're looking at? Problematic areas, like what's the timeline of that existing structure and piece of work?
Back in 2012, when we did the runway, we overlaid the taxiway, and that was supposed to be sort of a 5 to 7 year band-aid. So it is approaching the end of its useful life. But I guess not having taken a look after this most recent winter, I wouldn't be able to say. But, the PCI was evaluated as part of the rehab project, and it did necessitate some form of rehabilitation. So
one of the things that Nick and I were discussing was, moving forward, we've put in the request for the design only, just to keep the project rolling in case it can't happen, the relocation, we have to get the rehabilitation done eventually.
Right.
But, what we're banking on right now, or hoping on, is that we get these two developments going in this area over here, and within 2 years, those are complete, and then the other two developers that want to develop on the grass tie down, they step up to the plate. One of them's already under contract with Gale Associates. So once that happens, then we can go back to the FAA and say, look, here it is. We now have the justification for this. Now, of course, you have to understand that this whole justification process seemed to be a goalpost moving exercise. When we first started this, we were told that, no, we can't do it. You need to have letters of intent. Mm-hmm. At the time, nobody had stepped up to the plate. This is well over a year ago now, Nick, maybe a year and a half ago. And we admitted we don't have the people lined up right now, but when we do, we'll get you the letters of intent. Well, that time came. We had developers interested. We said we'd get letters of intent. And then it became, you need letters of commitment now. And in the most recent meeting, it turned into, do you have these people under contract? So we've kind of had a moving target here. And I don't know how much further it could go once you have people under contract and they've signed commitments to lease land.
Yeah.
That's about as solid as it gets.
And to the degrees of that substantial requirement, is that all subjective? Is that a one-sided and subjective requires? There's nothing written out somewhere or guidelines at all, pretty much at the discretion of X as to...
I'm not aware of anything in the regulations that say letters of commitment or being under contract is a requirement. It's just what they have requested.
Yes. What is it going to take and how long is the process for a financial inventory authority to have those the lot subdivided into the parcels?
It would take basically the developers coming in, presenting what they would like to build, and then requesting a land lease.
Okay, so we don't have to go to the city or anything to have those lots provided because they get taxed as well.
It would, I know that there is a development area plan with
okay.
the lots outlined already. It would be likely a modification to that, and then beyond that, coordination with the city would just include the planning board for the building requirements.
Oh, okay.
To your point, we might want to look at that to do that.
That's what I was thinking, and then that way, once we have it done, if they want, if we have somebody who's really interested, they could sign a land lease, and they have so many years to build something, at least they're under contract now
right.
with that parcel.
Yep. The only information I think we would need is what size hangar to dictate how big the...
Yeah, that's the problem, if they want a different size,
exactly.
they want that a lot.
Yeah.
Any other questions on the Taxway Alpha project?
I have a follow-up question and a second question. So the follow-up is, just to clarify, and maybe that was already said, but if, let's say, those four box hangars in that alternate, in the alternate location, if those are, I guess, in process, under contract, maybe there's ground broken, et cetera, and then there's someone who is interested in developing that, that grass tie-down area, is that considered acceptable? Justification, or does there have to be, you know, four box hangars already built, and then another, some developer wanting to develop that new area? I'm just wondering on the timeline. Like, can there be like basically five potential hangars in the works, four of them in the alternate locations, and one or two of them in the new location, or is that not good enough? Does basically there have to be construction on those other options before the DOT will consider moving the taxiway?
No, I think as long as the available land is under agreement, if there is, say, a fifth developer who wants a land lease, it would be
triggered.
I would hope right. it's a trigger.
The inability to do something with the other
right.
land,
yes.
whatever that is, it's just you can't sure. act on it until it's taken.
That is correct.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that's helpful. And then my follow-up question was on the specifications for the hangars and the locations that you submitted to the FAA for that air hazard. Is that something that we, the board, can get a copy of?
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you, Nick.
Chris, do you have those concepts or do you need them?
I do not. The 7460-1s?
Yep. I'll get those to Chris first thing. All right.
So,
then,
oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to move on to the golf ring project. Is there anything else with Alpha?
No, go ahead.
Okay. And the third project is the rehabilitate golf ramp and foxtrot ramp project. The documents have been made available to bidders via the ProjectDog website. I've listed the project ID number here in case anyone wants to go on and download those plans and specs. The bid opening is scheduled to take place at 10 a.m. on April 26th. One point of clarification, Chris, the bid opening will not be in person. The bids are submitted through the bid portal. At that time, the window is closed. Tabulations are automatically generated and emailed to all plan holders.
Okay.
Following that, grant applications will be submitted once we know the final cost, but in no case later than April 28th, 2022. And that date is based on an extension to the application deadline that has been granted by NHDOT. So recommended action, but we sign and forward along the grant application upon receipt. Any questions? That's it for me.
So the only thing I'd like to, add is we have the demand right now at this airport. And in our opinion, we have the justification, we have the demand to relocate Taxiway Alpha. And it's created a bit of, like you guys were saying, the chicken and the egg or the cart before the horse problem. And we went through several meetings and answered all the questions that were asked of us to justify this, and we thought we had done that. But then New Hampshire DOT came up with this piece of land back here and said, well, what about this? Well, I guess it's possible, and we didn't argue with that. And it is making use of some land that we do have, so we're moving forward with that. But as soon as these developments take place or the land leases are locked in, we'll be back to meeting with the FAA and the DOT about the other pieces of land out there. Because, again, the third contractor is under contract with Yale Associates to develop a large hangar out there. And the other tenant is looking to bring a G550 and a 700, and we know that there's nowhere on this airfield for those planes. So.
Is it a cost thing? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, very stray into the area, does this make sense? But you would think the best bang for grant money would be applying it towards a new, more permanent solution to enhance blah, 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 et cetera, as opposed to taking, I'm sure, a decent chunk. I mean, the relocation is more expensive, right? But it's some measurable, significant percentage of the cost to rehab in place the existing taxiway. Has there been any justification or logic provided to, you know, hey, let's, great, good idea, guys, good on you, good thinking. Let's reserve that chunk of money and essentially apply it to a better solution. We just need to get a few things lined up and a few ducks in the row, and that's a better way of spending those dollars. Has there been any discussion to any degree as to that thought process?
Yeah, and from what I gather, it's the position of the agency to only fund what is absolutely necessary at the time of application, not to plan for the future. I'm sure you've heard the FAA and DOT say they don't prescribe to the if you build it, they will come mentality. It's all about servicing what's currently based here.
And it went from us creating a new master plan a couple of years ago and all the planning that went on for this. This project has infrastructure that's in the ground since 2012.
Mm-hmm.
With the FAA's consent, planning all this, approved our master plan, and now they're going after what they call data points and its current demand, et cetera. And you know, without having people line up to sign contracts, not knowing that they could get this land or not, we couldn't meet the data points. So moving forward, again, it's developing this area adjacent to the tower building into the parking lot area. And when that's all taken up, then it basically forces everybody's hand to be out to the grass tie down area and get the taxiway moved at that time.
And this is probably getting in the weeds a little bit, but and maybe Nick, you may not even be able to answer this, but is it possible to structure land leases in such a way to have some sort of sunset or termination clause that in the event that the land does not become available within a certain time frame, if everybody walks away, there's no harm, no foul kind of situation? Because I can think of no other way to actually get somebody to, you know, engage in a land lease with so much risk on one side, in the idea of saying, look, if the lease is $1 a year for whatever, 2 years, but whatever the number is, and the contingency to then continue that lease would be to secure all of these things, right, the land, blah, 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 right? And if that doesn't happen, then
right,
you're out. I mean,
yeah. Well, you're right. I don't know that I can answer that. I would imagine that you would condition the land lease such that while that land is not available, they don't pay when it becomes available.
Right, because they got a plan, right? They got to have their timelines, and they need exit ramps if they can't secure certain things at certain times, as opposed to, well, we're going to sign the lease, and you're saying that we're probably sort of maybe going to maybe have it sort of later. Just, that's not possible. So.
Yep.
Okay.
I would assume something can be drafted like that, but again, I'm not a, that's not my wheelhouse.
Good point, though, Joe.
Yeah.
It should be drawn up that way.
Okay, any more questions for me this evening? Okay, moving along then, we do not have any outstanding committees. That brings us to whole business and marketing.
Swag.
Swag.
So, spent some time with Chris, bounced some ideas off of him. I'm not sure who you've shared them with or not shared them with. Just to get some ideas cooked up here for some hats and some shirts, basically. The idea would be to try to have something available for the June 18th event. We're trying to make good on this anonymous donation, at least initially. So my thought process after talking with Chris for a while is to have some ideas to send out to the board members here, probably before the next board meeting, to kind of just ping some ideas up. I just got to figure out lead time for actually getting stuff made. I don't know if we talk, we can talk about it for the next meeting, if that month is enough time to actually get stuff done.
You and I can continue working on it.
We'll figure that timeline out. But so the idea would be to maybe do a free raffle at this event. We're trying to think, how do you just give away stuff without it running out in 10 minutes? But maybe just as initial entree into the idea of, you know, the whole shirts and hats game kind of thing.
If I may, what we discussed was the thing we discussed the last meeting, Fly Nashua. And Joe has a contact that has developed some logos and some artwork for this, not necessarily our current logo, but
just some ideas, some brainstorms.
Just to put it simple, and we talked about, you know, Fly Nashua, lat long coordinates, Ash being on there, the website address. So that Fly Nashua people can go on to the website, they can see all the different flight schools, including CR Helicopter, Brule, Air Direct, East Coast Aero Club, etc.
That's the idea. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward, but again, two prongs. Getting into this world a bit and finally acting on the donation that we received some time ago to help promote the airport.
And like Joe said, these will be giveaways. And we figured T-shirts and hats will be long-lasting. They'll be around for a long time, and people will notice Nashua Airport.
So if we're going to use those to steer people to the airport website so that they can see, you know, the businesses about, you know, it, or the last time I looked, I don't know if the businesses themselves were immediately visible on the landing page, because if, you know, if we're going to do that, in my opinion, it has to be, you know, it's like they have to be able to see the businesses.
Yep.
Yeah, that's sort of a subtopic that goes back to the rebranding and a lot of that.
Right,
stuff.
But we can rearrange that so that can happen.
It doesn't say that you know, you live in this world that we can't set a separate domain or something for it at first, initially, as opposed to the official, you know what I mean? Could be a redirect page or something, but that's my thoughts anyways. We try to get something moving that's, you know, straightforward and not try to bite out too much.
But we can make that happen, yeah, for sure.
So since we want this to happen, do we really even need something to vote on? Approve?
I think it's just more of a, yeah, I think it's just more of a, hey, here's what we're thinking kind of thing. I'm not sure if it's a vote onable thing. I don't know.
I think we've voted that we've approved to do it.
Yeah, right, we're going to do this.
Right, you guys have to move forward and just keep those in the loop.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't perceive any specific.
Okay.
You know, it's all at the request of the donor that we do something to promote the airport. I think this fits the bill. And I'm not talking to bipartisan infrastructure law, Bill.
So, we'll keep in touch.
Okay.
This is the takeaway on that.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions for Joe on that marketing effort? Okay, moving along. So, new business. Greg, hangar development and fuel pricing.
Yes. Thank you, everybody. I asked Chris to be on the agenda for a couple of reasons. A lot of what I wanted to say has actually already been covered with the discussions about Alpha, the discussions about this land over here. I want to give everybody a little bit of background. One of the things I wanted to do by this meeting, but it got way late to do this and things I'll explain here in a minute, was to be in front of you requesting exactly what we're talking about, a land lease.
I apologize, I'm going to interrupt. Can you explain again who this is?
Oh.
And then for the record and everything, too, but even just for me, so
okay.
I apologize.
So Greg Leatham, he owns and runs Infinity.
And just so for everybody on there, too,
yeah.
So probably knows, but thank you. Sorry.
No problem. So, due to just the developments from the last meetings with New Hampshire DOT and Yale and some development shop that Nick had done upon the area, sort of pushed everything back a little bit so we could regroup. Our original intention was to develop in the grass high area. After the meeting and realizing the obstacles in the way and the delays that would create, we turned our sights to this area over here as well. And started to recalibrate what we wanted to develop. As a result of that, and as a result of Nick's work, it slowed things down a little bit because, to be very direct, I'm not sure that what we want to do would actually fit in conjunction with what the other parties want to do over there. So we're in the middle of trying to determine how that's going to work out. We want to see it work out for everybody. But I'm not sure at this time we're prepared to say that it will. So that's why I'm not here with plot plans and pictures and diagrams and stuff like that. I do hope to be here by the next meeting. I want to get together with Nick. We've been a little bit delayed due to the renovations we're doing on the building and also with the sort of the current fuel situation, which I'm going to talk to in a minute. But going back to this, I was at these meetings with the New Hampshire DOT, and I will say that they definitely, I don't think I would call them obstructionists, but they certainly do seem to continually move the goalposts. And it is a little bit, I can understand Chris's frustration with the process as a whole. This piece of land over here is probably adequate for what we want to do. The issues with developing both sides, I don't know if anybody's seen any pictures of it, but essentially what they're talking about doing is the only way to fit in the buildings that we're all talking about is we run a set of buildings going this way, and then there's a ramp in between, and then another set of buildings that's close to the perimeter road, which creates a pretty narrow alleyway. And the type of aircraft that we're talking about, essentially building these facilities for, to practically operate them out of that space is just really, it's not something that our insurance company does probably care to have me do. So that's some of the reason why it's a little bit, up in the air as to how it's going to go forward. Not saying no, just saying that's a big part of the pause, which unfortunately pushes it right back to this other land that's, available and how do we deal with that without having to meet. Are you reading it for me?
No, I just happen to have some copies of the airport layout plan here.
Yes.
And so I gather that my question is, we're talking about an area that's labeled as future corporate hangar and future administration building on the master plan, right here, and then somehow moving back towards the street where we today have a parking.
Right, so the parking lot actually shifts, right? Then we're kind of shifting the parking lot towards the restaurant and that type of stuff.
Okay.
It's a great use of space. Don't get me wrong. It's
jammed in there, though.
It is jammed in there, and, when you go back to the whole reason why we need these buildings, it's because of larger aircraft that are going to get larger and larger and larger. So it presents a tremendous logistical challenge. Does it present a challenge if you don't have buildings on the perimeter roadside? Much less of one, okay, but now, in essence, when you're putting pieces, when you're putting blocks on a piece of paper, it's very easy to put square footage down, and here's the tag to it, but then when you try to put it in an application, it just doesn't work. That's the concern. Neither party would be happy. We've got one side aggravated because these people are full of their airplane out and bikes,
You couldn't pull two aircraft out at the same time from either side of the taxiway.
Correct.
It's impossible.
And so what happens to that is the people that you're trying to attract to the airport, they're savvy to that stuff. They see that and they take one look at that and they become discouraged. I mean, these are the types of things that happen when we're talking to a prospective customer. You know, what is your, you know, what is your egress? What is your taxi look like? What's the safety factor? Nobody wants to ding their airplane. You know, you come in, you see this tight quarters, and they don't want to, you know, they just don't want to do it. So I'm not ready to leave that now. I'm just saying that that's causing a little bit of a delay. This, this inability to develop the grass tie down area sort of, you know, at first blush, oh, here's the solution we'll develop. We have people to develop today. It's not quite that simple. I'm not sure that that space is going to do what it needs to do. So I wanted to essentially come forward and say that. And if anybody has any questions, that's what to answer them.
Yeah, when I look at, you know, when I look at the first year on this conceptual plan here, it's like, you know, you pull out one aircraft and, you know, that ramp is blocked.
You're done. It's over. Yeah. Now, yes, you can tug them out and you can, you know, you can stage off of the main ramp and so on and so forth, but that type of stuff only goes so far. You know, winter operations, snow removal, you create a gauntlet at the end. I mean, for these guys to remove snow, where's the snow going to go? Which way are you going to push the snow? Where's the pile going to be? Anytime we deal with, you know, gauntlets at this airport, you have those scenarios. Is it a great place for an FBO? I think it's a pretty decent place for an FBO, actually. It's sort of central to the airport. I mean, you can imagine egress that sort of coexists with the parking lot, access to the restaurant. From that perspective, it actually is a better location than further down. Right, because you're closer to the center of the airport. So for those things, for us, it's very attractive. But again, you start to overdevelop that area, and you're in trouble.
I presume you keep your current building?
We would keep our current. Our plan would actually, it's an expansion plan, not a replacement plan. So our current building would be dedicated to the repair station, maintenance, avionics, and that end of our business. Which works perfect for them. So.
And you were going to say something about gas?
Well, I wanted to. That was really just a discussion, or at least make myself available if anybody had any questions, because, you know, we talk a lot in this forum about the price of avgas, and everybody gets, you know, becomes sensitive to it for all the right reasons. We want to promote flying and so on and so forth. Well, we've been in an environment in the last 6 weeks or so where avgas rose, but then it stopped. It sort of stabilized at a place, and everybody became a little accustomed to it. We're all waiting for it to go down. Jet fuel, on the other hand, did something that in all the years that I've been doing this, and Bob and I were talking about this the other day, continued to climb and climb and climb and climb to a point where it hit levels that I have just never seen before. Last week, our posted jet fuel price, and we were not the most expensive around by a long shot, was $10.27 a gallon. And so that was the result of 6 weeks of steady increase in product price, in the New York trading price. All of our jet fuel is based upon the New York barge trading price that we, you know, it's taxes and stuff on top of it. So you can track the trading price, and to put it into perspective, in a 5 week period, the price, I believe, went up $3.64. Which at the time was arguably almost double. And so it happened so quickly that a lot of people didn't even recognize it happening. And it doesn't start to take root until a couple of weeks later because you don't expect it to go up so high. And so we've been fielding a lot of questions about, you know, why and so on and so forth. And I kind of wanted to make myself available to have people throw things at me if they wanted to sort of, you know, just understand where it's coming from. The good news about it is that it's on its way down. We saw from 2 weeks ago to last week's pricing, we saw an increase of $2.14 just in that 1 week. Now, when I say this, it kind of goes up and down, but then we saw a single increase of $2.14 in a 1 week period. Last week, it dropped almost as much as it again. It went down $1.86, and we're back to a place this week where it's trading down each day, and today we're about where we were 3 weeks ago, which was still high, but it is trending down. I don't know why. You know, that none of the, you know, none of the distributors can really tell us. You know, it's a market-driven price. It has nothing to do with refineries going down. It has nothing to do with anything other than they can do it. I mean, they should put it that way. But it does have a domino effect. You know, that it's a kerosene-based product. Everybody sees diesel's up. You know, 3 weeks into this whole thing, our carrier says, well, I'm going to have fuel surcharges on top of all that, right? So you're paying more, you know, to have the fuel delivered and so on and so forth. That was it. If anybody had any questions, it happened so quickly, most people didn't even notice it happened. Chris was shocked last week when he came in and I asked him to guess the price, and he was within $2 of it. Anyway,
have you seen that put a damper on...
I have not seen it put a damper on traffic, although amongst, you know, what I would call my peers, we do have a lot of discussion about at what point does it do just that, right about the same time it started to come back down again. What I will tell you is that there are a lot, there's a lot more inquiries, there's a lot more questioning, there's a lot more, you know, desire to understand, which rightfully so. I mean, you want to understand what's going on, you know, make sure that there isn't some sort of, you know, something that can change with the way that they're doing business and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, I can't answer any of those questions because it's really a market-driven thing. Like I said, Avgas has been steady. Avgas is up $1.03, I just looked right there, since January 1. Avgas has been up $1.03. We try to keep our prices relatively flat. We don't let the market go up. You know, we don't go up and down the market. We absorb it to 10 cents, 5 cents, just to kind of keep everything consistent with folks. Jet since January 1 is almost 5.46 since January 1.
That's fine.
It is. And I don't know, you know, will it return back to where it was and be the same dollar off since January 1? I don't know. I wish I did. But if anybody has any questions after this meeting, if they want to reach out to me, if you end up getting a question. Yeah, but my main concern is that you guys are going to get a question, and you're going to say, I didn't know anything about this. So.
Yeah. Is it regional? I mean, are you kind of middle? No, I know it's national, but in terms of the price, let's say, within the state, within New England, I mean, are you kind of middle? Is everybody about the same? And if you go to other areas of the country, is it they're all the same but different in the different areas?
Or? Yeah, so I think that's what you're asking. So jet fuel, actually, all of them, Avgas and jet pricing is much more regional than your gas price. Gas prices, you can go 4 towns up and get 4 blocks over and get different prices.
Mm.
You know, aviation fuels tend to be regional, like you're mm. suggesting. So the Southeast, for instance, is historically, you know, all of the things that go into providing that gallon of gas are less expensive than they are up here. So if we're, like, when we were at $10, for instance, last week, the retail number, that's a retail number, by the way. Our on-fuel people don't pay that. We have rates and contract rates. The equivalent price in, say, South Florida would be, retail would be, say, $8 or something. It's a dollar. It's always about $1.50 or so off down the Southeast. And it's sort of different pockets across the country.
So it's not as
low. So everybody went up like this, and everybody went down.
So it's not like, well, I can just fly to this airport versus this. I'm either going to fly to New England or I'm flying to Florida. There's no, like,
what,
you know, just
right.
What that change? Mobile station cheaper than that Shell station.
What changed? Yes. I mean, we do have, I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, airports have different cost structures.
Right, but it's not.
Yeah.
One guy's not $8 cheaper than the other.
No,
one.
It's not.
You know, like, maybe cents or dollar or something, but.
Yeah, it's not quantified.
Yeah, right.
I think for 100 milliliters, you might find variations like that. Like if you get on to Hampton, you want to put gas in your piston airplane, I think you're going to spend. I think you're definitely going to spend a couple more bucks.
Yeah, no question about it. Yeah,
after you pay the rent.
After
it was the same thing that Greg had explained to me the other day with the Jet A. It was almost $2 more.
Yeah,
for the Jet A at Hanscom, and $4 more at Logan.
Oh, yeah.
You said?
Logan, I think Logan Pump. I think
north of 14.
So Lawrence, Boston right now is $12.46 a gallon for jet fuel. So, today's breaking. And we're down below 10. Our posted price right now is, this is moving so much, I don't even remember, $8.43.
What's Manchester? We're always looking for ways.
Yeah, no. $9.77 is Manchester.
And it was 12 at Boston.
The anomalies in this area are Lawrence, you know, there's four different people providing fuel. They have a pretty cutthroat war going on down there. And they're essentially racing each other in the bottom. So I'm not sure what they're doing. But even them, $8.50, $7.50, $8.50,
$9.50,
so they're not, actually, they have enough of their war.
Somebody's not fighting very well.
Yeah, right. So, very well with them. Yeah, right. When we've had these strange fuel pricing things in the past, jet fuel's come close to being the same price as avgas has historically left. I've never seen it, to be almost double the price, you know, at its peak. It's just, it's a crazy idea. And on the subject of fuel, just, you know, this is something that Chris and I talked about earlier today. Oh, we have been working to try and find a contractor to paint the fuel farm. This is sort of the whole I have a fuel here for a second. I did finally identify yet another contractor today that is supposed to come give me a quote by the end of this week. I think Russ is the third one that I'm working on. You've worked on one, so we're on contractor number four. Hopefully we'll be able to get the full time.
What's the problem?
Getting them to show up. You know?
They
do, right? It's just $400 an hour.
Yep, it's crazy.
Okay.
Any questions about the fuel or actually anything?
No, it's interesting.
Okay. Well, thank you. So that brings us to Nashua Jet, Mary Parker lease agreements and lease extensions for 83, 87, 113, 115.
Yes. First, I'd like to say thank you to Susan for helping get this on the agenda and muddle through this complicated request because. We had A, B, C, and D drafts. The question is because of the passing of Ted McLaughlin, these leases were in that year of Kenneth McLaughlin's name, and we'd like them switched over to National Jet Aviation. We'd also like, so that we don't have to come before the board again, we'd like to have the lease extension in these leases. They do have extensions now, but that was for the Macia Kenneth McLaughlin name. And so being that this is almost a new entity to these leases, we would like to have the extension approved as well after the assignment is approved.
Okay.
All right. Ready?
Go ahead.
Okay, so we'll do reassignment and an extension for each parcel. And, or do you want to do all the reassignments, however you want to?
I think there's reassignments. In my opinion, these can be voted on, you know, as a package. But I guess for the record, we'd like to, you know, to call out each building.
Right. So do you want to go through the reassignments first as a whole, and
yeah.
Then these? Okay, got it. So I'll just go through each one, read it into the record, and we can. Or do you want to read each one and then vote on each one?
Let's read all four into the
okay.
Record and vote on the package.
Got it.
Good.
Okay, so the first motion is related to parcel E-1465-83 Perimeter Road. Motion to approve the assignment and assumption of lease request for E-1465-83 Perimeter Road from Kenneth McLaughlin to Nashua Jet Aviation, LLC. Second motion is related to parcel E-1452-87 Perimeter Road. Motion to approve the assignment and assumption of lease request for E-1452-87 Perimeter Road from Kenneth McLaughlin and Mary D. McLaughlin to Nashua Jet Aviation, LLC. Third is related to parcel E-1504-113 Perimeter Road. Motion to approve an assignment and assumption of lease request for E-1504-113 Perimeter Road from Kenneth McLaughlin and Mary B. McLaughlin to Nashua Jet Aviation, LLC. The final assignment assumption is related to parcel E-1505-115 Perimeter Road.
Motion to approve the assignment and assumption of lease request for East 1505-115 Perimeter Road from Kenneth McLaughlin and Mary D. McLaughlin to Nashua Jet Aviation, LLC.
Okay, I will second the package of reassignments. Is there any discussion on the reassignments? Yes?
No questions for me.
Okay. Okay, so we can vote on the package of reassignments as read into the record a moment ago. Chris, will you please call the roll?
Okay, Chairman Woods.
Yay.
Vice Chairman Law.
Yay.
Secretary Holland.
Yay.
And Director Duquette.
Yay.
Okay, motion is taken. The reassignments are complete. You do those now.
Okay, and then we're reading the record the four requested lease extensions related to basically the same parcel we just spoke of. But so the first one is related to parcel E146583 Perimeter Road. Motion to approve the lease extension request for E1465 Nashua Jet Aviation LLC for 20 years, beginning on May 1st, 2024, and terminating on April 30, 2044, upon the same terms and conditions as the lease now in effect. Also to approve this lease to be extended for an additional term of 20 years, commencing on May 1st, 2044, subject to renegotiation of terms and conditions. Second parcel, E145287 Perimeter Road. Motion to approve the lease extension request for E1452 Nashua Jet Aviation LLC for 20 years, beginning on June 1, 2025, and terminating on May 31, 2045, upon the same conditions as the lease now in effect. Also to approve this lease to be extended for an additional term of 20 years, commencing on June 1, 2045, subject to renegotiation of terms and conditions. Parcel number three, E1504113 Perimeter Road. Motion to approve the lease extension request for E1504 Nashua Jet Aviation LLC for 20 years, beginning on August 1, 2027, and terminating on July 31, 2047, on the same terms and conditions as the lease now in effect. Also to approve this lease to be extended for an additional term of 20 years, commencing on August 1, 2047, subject to renegotiation of terms and conditions. Final parcel, E1505115 Perimeter Road. Motion to approve the lease extension request for E1505 Nashua Jet Aviation LLC for 20 years, beginning on August 1, 2027, and terminating on July 31, 2047, upon the same terms and conditions as the lease now in effect. Also to approve this lease to be extended for an additional term of 20 years, commencing on August 1, 2047, subject to renegotiation of terms and conditions.
So the, the only thing I noticed about the language is each one of them says, also to approve this lease to be an extended, to be extended for an additional term of 20 years. Didn't we in the past, grant some, grant an option to have the lease extended?
Yes. That's what it's been saying, option to extend.
Okay.
The way this is, the way it's worded is we're actually approving an extension now.
Yeah, I know.
Also, approving the lease to be optioned to be extended for an additional 20 years.
Okay.
Want to read them again?
I'm not going to make you read all
of them. Yeah, we'll just make an amendment that, for the record that all four parcels, as read into the record, second clause should read also to approve this lease to be optioned for the extension of an additional 20-year term, commencing on each date as recorded into the record.
Okay. I will second that. I will second the package of extensions with that optional wording. Any discussion on the extensions at this point? Okay. Chris, would you call the roll, please?
Hey, Chairman Woods.
Yay.
Vice Chairman Law.
Yay.
Secretary Holland.
Yay.
Director Duquette.
Yay.
Okay. The extensions with the options for another 20 beyond are approved.
On behalf of the new administration, we'd like to thank you very much for your consideration and your approval.
Okay, so that brings us to upcoming events, which I think Chris has already covered in the manager's report, and brings us to public input, as as we're getting close to closing out the meeting. Any public input on any subject at this time? Okay, going once, going twice. Okay, I think it is no. Director's comments, Brian? Okay. I just want to, I want to thank, Chris and Nick and Matt, also Greg, you were involved in, in the negotiations with FAA and our friends at Aeronautics, about the, about the development. I know there was a lot of discussion, and you answered a lot of questions and concerns that Aeronautics, kept bringing up, so I want to thank you for that hard work.
Very well. Thank you.
Joe?
Just echo those comments, and then you guys will continue to help us navigate this as expertly as possible. And thanks to Susan for taking all that stuff out. It's awesome that way we do it. So.
And Jess, comments?
Yeah, I'll also, maybe third, the comments that you said about the hard work that's being put in to help the development along and overcome some of the obstacles on the DOT side and the FAA. So so thanks to Chris and crew and the board and of course, Nick and Gallo associates. I also want to say thanks to Greg for participating in the meeting and just bringing up the fuel prices. I think it's certainly something everybody is wondering about, so I appreciate him taking the time to come out and at least provide some explanation for that and just address that it's something that we all care about. And otherwise, I thank everybody for helping the airport run smoothly, and I hope to see you all very soon.
Well, it'd be great to see you again, of course. So, okay, with that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. And Chris, if you can call the roll one last time, please.
Chairman Woods.
Yay.
Vice Chairman Law.
Yay.
Director Duquette.
Yay.
Secretary Holland.
Yay.
Okay, we are adjourned.